www.ky.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We return with Jerry Clark, final hour of our visit with him. He's a noted UFO historian who's been there from the early days, covering the field with a tremendous overview with Gene and Chris. Now, you were embarked on an answer during our last segment. Do you want to pick up further on it?
Well, I think that basically, yes, incompetent interviewers, leading questions, all those things are not good. And you should not engage in them. You should make an effort not to do that when you talk with somebody who's had a UFO sighting. But basically, the quantity of testimony about UFO sightings by now is so massive and delivered in all kinds of forms, many of them completely unfiltered by a naive investigator's leading questions, that in the end, it doesn't matter. There's a phenomenon that no matter how people report it, ends up pretty much the same. And also, witnesses aren't necessarily leadable. They're, you know, witnesses are often very confident of what they've seen and are not interested in your idea about what they should have seen. And I remember, for example, seeing correspondence between Donald Menzel and the astronomer Seymour Hess, who had a UFO sighting in about 1950. And Menzel was trying very hard to get Dr. Hess to say what Menzel thought he had seen. And Hess would not back down. Menzel's letters were full of leading questions. He was trying to get Hess to say that he had seen something that Menzel could explain. And Hess was fierce about what he had seen and wouldn't back down an iota. Now, most UFO witnesses are not astronomers, but many of them are very strongly opinionated about what they saw, and they're not leading. In fact, I would be suspicious of a witness who was so weak-willed that I could shape his testimony just by the questions that I asked.
Yeah,
but
it's
just—I mean, it's an occasional problem, but it's a very minor.
I've never encountered it myself in the field, like you say. I mean, normally these events are very memorable, and they do tend to stick in people's minds. You'll get some sort of personal bias, I think, and some confusion about duration, sequence of events and that sort of thing. But the general, you know, especially in multiple witness sightings, you do see a thread of the general details of the experience, general descriptions, tend to all be very, very similar, if not exact. It's just the details of sequence of events and sometimes time duration that tends to get skewed, I think.
Right.
But I do agree with you on that. Here's a couple of interesting questions from a fairly long-time poster on the forum, Blowfish, who's been posting on the forum since January 2010. And his first question is, have you read Mrs. Georgina Bruni's book, You Can't Tell the People? I have,
no,
personally, myself.
No, I haven't. I've heard of it.
And have you ever experienced any, as he puts it, strange awareness / UFO sightings yourself?
No, I've never had a UFO sighting. I've had, you know, strange experiences, as everybody does. And the most dramatic of them, which I think I probably described on the show before, was this was summer 11 years ago, seeing on three occasions what I call a phantom quadruped in my front yard. The last time I saw it, I was with my wife. And, but I've never seen a UFO. And nor, unfortunately, do I expect to. I don't even think about it anymore.
People ask me, well, how come you've seen so many? I say, because I look. I make a point of looking.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, if you live in an area where tends to be more UFO sightings than perhaps your average area, that would be the rule of thumb, is just constantly keep your eyes open and keep scanning the sky. Here's another question that you did address this, I think, on a previous appearance, but what are your thoughts on the Rendlesham Forest UFO incident? And I would add also that the Peniston information about the binary code and these new revelations that are coming out, do you feel that the case still has the, you know, the earmarks of being a classic UFO case, or do you think these new revelations are starting to degrade that somewhat? What is your opinion of the Rendlesham case?
I think it's just a muddle. You know, I don't know what to think. You know, it just seems to be that there are so many different variations of what the story is that I just don't know. I don't really have an opinion about it. It's just confusing to me. Fortunately, I don't have to have an opinion about it. I just think I don't understand this. Like, what's this about? It's clearly because it's a model. It can't be used as a great UFO case, even if it, maybe it is underneath all that muddle. But unless, you know, we sort out whatever lies underneath that muddle, it's just hopeless.
Well, here's probably one of the toughest questions you've probably ever been asked on a show like the Paracast.
Okay, let's get ready for this. This is going to be the zinger that Chris and I have been preparing for these many years.
Well, I don't know. For someone like Jerome Clark to answer, you know, the question, what are your top 10 UFO cases? I would think that would be really difficult to distill down. But perhaps you do have a top 10 list, and perhaps you've been asked.
No, I don't have a top 10 list, but I do have a top 1 list, and that's RB-47 case.
Uh-huh. So Roswell isn't up there in your...
No, definitely not Roswell. I mean, I think that Roswell is in many ways, you know, a mystery, but I don't think it's a good UFO case. I mean, there's just too many problems with it. It doesn't mean that maybe something really interesting did happen and maybe it was related to UFOs. It's just that there are so many problems with it that it's not a good UFO case. It's an interesting story. It's still a mystery, and it may be related. It may, in the end, turn out to be that the UFO did crash. But that hasn't been proved, and we just don't know. And when you talk about UFOs, you really shouldn't talk about Roswell. At least you're trying to persuade somebody on evidence, because the evidence in Roswell is so mixed and complicated and ambiguous.
Do you think possibly here, before we go on to the next question, do you think, Jerry, possibly that Roswell has been a red herring all along? Maybe it was a secret aircraft or something, or it was a balloon, and that the memories 20, 30, 40 years later just completely clouded the entire affair?
I don't think that's impossible. I don't think it's necessarily true, but we just don't know. I think that, you know, we're not going to know until we get our hands on actual documents of unquestioned provenance. The answers are somewhere on paper in some government bureau. That's what the answers are. It's not unsolvable, but until we get those papers, we're not going to know. And as you say, there's problems with the testimony and, you know, not certain problems. We don't know that people's memories are muddled. We don't know that, but it's certainly possible. And until we find those papers, we're not going to know.
Well, that almost gets back to the original question about what does the government know, when do they know it? So you assume the government has a lot more information or somewhat more information about UFOs that they have yet to disclose?
Well, they certainly have papers on the Roswell incident, whatever the Roswell incident's about. The answers are there. They're on paper somewhere. They're just not accessible to us. Now, I don't know what the U.S. government knows or doesn't know about UFOs. I have no idea. I do know that the U.S. government has acted. And everything that it has done in terms of, you know, strategic policy since 1947 is consistent with the hypothesis that the Air Force is not covering up a huge secret that would change history. The Air Force and the U.S. government have acted since 1947 as if UFOs don't exist. And there is nothing discernible in any of the history of the Cold War and beyond that suggests otherwise. Now, that doesn't mean there couldn't be some really interesting cases and secrets that are buried somewhere, but they're certainly not affecting policy. And it's hard to believe that if they knew for sure that extraterrestrials are coming to Earth, that this would not affect policy on all kinds of levels that would be visible to the rest of us, even if we didn't know why the policies, particular policies, were being pursued.
Well, certainly if we had evidence of extraterrestrial technology, we'd see evidence of that. in our developments, and we haven't seen that despite some of the allegations otherwise. We have Jerry Clark. You're listening to Gene and Chris on
Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. Neighbors, do you need to bring the final touches to your latest podcasts? Clean up the soundtrack of that holiday video. Mix together a few takes from your last jamming session. Process the audio files of the video game you're creating to sound just right. But look no further. Whatever audio-related task you're looking to perform, Amadeus Pro is the tool for you. It's the Swiss Army knife of sound editing. Go to HairerSoft.com. HairerSoft.com.
Hey everybody, Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate. So you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery, so you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we are asking your questions of Jerome Clark. We don't guarantee his responses. But let me just amplify on that, of course. if we had actually recovered a UFO, and that takes us back to Roswell, don't you think one of the biggest indictments against that is the fact that we've seen not even a snippet of evidence of technology that maybe came from something that we couldn't invent ourselves? Steve Jobs was not E.T.
I agree with you completely. I've said the same thing myself.
Yeah. So the whole Corso scenario with salting private industry with exotic alien-derived technology doesn't hold much water in your view.
Well, that book is a hoax. But I want to also add that I have a lot of respect for investigators like Kevin Randall and Don Schmidt and Tom Carey. These guys have really done a good job. And I read their stuff, and they have found stuff that is very difficult to explain, that is indeed intriguing. So the question is open. But I don't think that we've established anything. It's just that there is a historical mystery that begins in Roswell in early July 1947. Any claims beyond that have all kinds of problems. Positive claims, negative claims, we just don't know, and we're going to have to be satisfied with that until those government papers are available to us. Then we will know.
So the Annie Jacobson assertion that that Joseph Stalin, along with the help of Joseph Mengele, trained and malformed kids to fly saucers, and one of them crashed at Roswell.
You know, that sounds like the plot of a trashy paperback you buy at the airport.
Or at the very least, buys up a pretty boring book about Area 51. I don't know. I always kind of liked the Nick Redfern's idea that they were Japanese prisoners of war and body snatchers in the desert. I like when people get creative with a dead horse like Roswell and start looking at it from new and different angles. At least it, you know, gives you something new to think about, you know, or at least laugh at.
Well, he just, you know, he had, like everybody else, some anonymous, you know, unknown reliability or unknown motivation. It was just, you know, those things are really better dealt with in novels than in allegedly nonfiction books.
Right. Well, we had John Alexander and Stanton Friedman debating UFO secrecy on the Paracast here a couple of weeks back, and I must say, it was quite a civil and very cordial conversation, and I think the two men found they had more, their thinking was they had more in common than they would have probably thought going in. But the whole idea of UFO secrecy now, you know, we're dealing with something. I think you've described the apparent government position on the UFO question, but then you hinted around that there probably is quite a substantial body of evidence. Of course, there's gun camera footage. There's, you know, the Gordon Cooper alleged footage. There's some pretty compelling evidence that they do have some sort of information that they're not releasing. But how do you think that is organized? Or do you think it's a multi-departmental thing? Do you think there's a UFO desk somewhere? Do you think this has all been farmed out to the military-industrial complex, as Eisenhower put it? Do you think the military has co-opted all this information? I mean, what is your sense as a longtime researcher in this field about the whole question of UFO secrecy? Of course, you know, John Alexander claims that there is no holder of the secrets in government. Well, what is your opinion?
Well, I have a lot of respect for what John Alexander has to say. John's an interesting guy. He has a lot of interesting experience, personal and professional experience to draw from. So I listen very carefully to what John Alexander.
Yeah, so do I.
I suspect that there's probably some small off-the-books group with guys with very high security clearances who monitor the situation. And the secrets are kept within that tiny little off-the-books group. They're kind of like a working group. And that when work has to be done on one particular question or another, it's farmed out, not as necessarily as, here, we want you to look at this item of UFO evidence or this interesting UFO sighting or this film or whatever. But I think they're very careful about how this material is dealt with. But it's not like a huge, massive cover-up. It's just a few guys, a small group, probably with some assistance from, you know, professionals in the particular areas of expertise, making sure that this doesn't get to be a national security problem.
The issue here being, Jerry, that the government doesn't really pay attention or consider whether it's ET, it's whether we face a security issue. And if that's not the case, we don't worry about it.
We have to worry about it to the extent that it could be a potential national security issue. But if it isn't, and it certainly doesn't seem to have been since 1947, after all, they haven't invaded and taken us over, you know, they can continue to live with it.
Unless, of course, they invaded the Fed. They invaded the Fed, and Ben Bernanke is really one of them.
Yeah. I remember the Weekly World News years ago had a big story about which U.S. senators were actually aliens. And, you know, there's all kinds of jokes about that. But
I can think of a few who strike me as being alien and for different reasons.
Yeah. But I don't believe in MJ-12 or any of that sort of stuff. I think that's all nonsense. But I do think there probably is some small working group that monitors.
What bothers me is, why does someone like Stanton Friedman, who has done such great work in the UFO field, why is he still wrapped up in MJ-12?
Well, he has to be.
Well, I don't, you know, I've known Stan for a long time, and I don't want to read his mind, but I think that, you know, this is the wrong tree that he's chosen to bark up, and apparently he's going to keep barking, so it's his life, his career, but I don't buy it.
Yeah, once you've taken the plunge, it's kind of hard to get out of the pool and dry off without anybody noticing.
You think that's a lot of it there, that just Stan is not going to up and admit, you know, guys, I made a mistake here. He's going to stick to it till the end of his days.
Well, I think Stan's a lot like Phil Klass. I think that they have much the same kind of personality. They were just on opposite sides of the question. But I think Stan is a stubborn guy who believes very strongly that he's right. And he's not the son of the guy who he's going to back down. And I just don't see the evidence for MJ-12. And he was kind enough to send me both editions of his book on MJ-12. And in each case, I sat down and I said, I'm going to read this with a completely open mind. And I'm going to try to see if Stan can convince me. And I'll just keep my mind blank and just follow the evidence. I still wasn't convinced, not even remotely.
Wow.
And I don't think many people in this field believe in MJ-12. Stan is really the holdout. But as I say, it's, you know, it's his life.
Well, you know, it's funny. We look at the person who got this film of the MJ-12 documents, Jamie Chandray. And
right.
When you look him up at he's supposedly a video producer or something? And I don't know what his credentials are, because if you look in professional credentials like the Internet Movie Database, he's not there, except maybe as a video editor in one film in the 70s, if it's the same guy. Why would he attract this kind of information? We have Jerome Clark joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
a Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
With economic news getting worse each day, are you ready for the hard times ahead? This is Bill Hyde with a special self-reliance report. Studies show that in a true crisis, 8 out of 10 people will remain sheep-like and passive, frozen like deer in the headlights of an oncoming car, waiting for others to help. 1 out of 10 will actually panic and endanger family and friends as they melt down under pressure. And only 1 out of 10 will take swift and decisive action when the going gets tough, dramatically increasing their chances of survival. That's why I'm excited to announce we've published a new book called Ready for Anything. It's a must-read for anyone who wants to increase their chances of survival in the coming hard times ahead. To read more about this important new book, go to readyforanything.com. That's readyforanything.com. Take swift and decisive action by getting your copy today at readyforanything.com. That's readyforanything.com.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're back with Jerome Clark, with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. Jerry, before we go on with any more questions, do you have any comments about that?
Well, I wondered the same thing myself. You know, actually, that you raise a very interesting question. And I don't, you know, the whole genesis of the MJ-12 documents and so on is just odd. I mean, I don't want to make up a big sinister conspiracy out of it, but there certainly are some unanswered questions, and one of them is, you know, what's Jamie Chandra's role in all of this? You're absolutely right to raise that question.
Yeah, the issue is here is he seems to be an invisible entity. I mean, you would say to somebody who basically shoots wedding videos, what does he do? If he worked for the motion picture or television industries, the Internet Movie Database, IMDb, they even got an iPhone app and probably an Android app. You can look up things about the crew of movies and TV shows, learn about their life histories and everything else. So that's the big question here. You know, why would you pick him? I might as well have gotten a copy. I had more presence in the UFO field than he did.
I don't really understand what was going on. I also don't understand a lot of things about Bill Moore's behavior. I think the whole thing just seems odd and murky, but I think in the end what matters is that wherever they came from, wherever they were generated, the MJ-12 documents are bogus. That's one thing we can be certain of, I think. There was no MJ-12.
Well, I would think that back in the late 40s, early 50s, before the military and the government had determined the national security implications of the phenomenon, I'm pretty sure that they did have some sort of MJ-12-like group, but I don't think it probably lasted long, and Blue Book and Grudge and Sign probably dovetailed out of some sort of initial effort by this group. But personally, I've always felt that, you know, the MJ-12 scenario was downwind of the fish market myself, but
Well, I always thought that when whoever wrote it put Donald Menzel in as a member of MJ-12, this was like a joke, that this was like a wink to the reader.
Right.
And that's what it was like, this tells you it's a joke. But Stan Friedman ran with it. And now he's been convinced for some time that Menzel, of course, who was the most influential debunker in the history of the UFO controversy, was actually a protector of the secrets of crash disks and extraterrestrial visitation. It just seems unlikely to me.
Yeah. Well, how come Stan was hired and paid a substantial sum of money to do the actual analysis and document research? I mean, he's not. He's a nuclear scientist by training. Why? Who was it that hired him?
Was hardly a disinterested observer.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but you would think that you could find a professional document. I don't know what they call them, the people that authenticate documents, but you'd think that there were other people eminently more qualified to do the examination of the documents than Stan Friedman.
Yeah, I don't think Stan
was qualified.
Period. I mean, he just shouldn't have done it, and he shouldn't have put himself in there. He should have just stayed out of it and maybe, recommended somebody or something. But it's just, the whole thing is just kind of an enormous waste of time in the end.
Well, what about Bob and Ryan Wood and the way that they've taken that MJ-12 ball and just, like a big hefty fullback, they've been bowling that ball down the field for almost 10 years now. And they are absolutely convinced that the MJ-12 document, plus the other documents that have come out, are all legitimate, and they're, they all should be considered as smoking gun evidence of conspiracy and cover up and the rest of it. What do you think of Bob and Ryan's work in this?
Well, I actually saw Bob Wood and Ryan Wood lecture on their material at a convention of the Society for Scientific Exploration in 2008. And they were really excited at the time because they had just gotten a document that linked MJ-12 with the Kennedy assassination. Now, to me, anytime you're linking, you've got some extremely outlandish claim, and then you link it with everybody's favorite pseudo-mystery, the Kennedy assassination. You just completely lost me. Not that I was on board to start with, but I just thought, oh, boy.
Of course, we have the Maury Island case, which was a possible hoax, and we link that with the Kennedy assassination because one of those harbor patrolmen, Fred Lee Chrisman, was a possible figure in the Kennedy assassination investigation.
Well, he wasn't. I mean, they know that he wasn't anywhere near Dallas. They know he was supposed to be one of these three hobos. And all the hobos have been identified, and everybody knows who they were, what their whole life stories were, and how they ended up there. And Chrisman, was in the Pacific Northwest on November 22nd, 1963. So that's just another one of these idiot red herrings. And it's just, I don't know, I don't really have a lot of patience with this stuff, except maybe a certain kind of clinical interest.
Oh, my favorite is Marilyn Monroe was actually murdered because she knew about Roswell. That's another one.
Yeah.
I've always,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to say that I like Bob. I don't know Ryan Wood, but I do know Bob Wood. And Bob Wood has always been nice to me, and I have nothing to say against Bob Wood. It's just that I don't agree with them about this.
Right. Well, that's it for our listener questions. I'm not sure if Gene has any more. I know I do.
Well, I have lots of questions always, but I'm going to let you, because you've been enjoying yourself so much walking around your room there, asking other people's questions. Why don't you ask some of your own?
Well, one of the things that I've been harping on over the past couple of years is, the very rapidly aging of the UFO buff crowd, just the rank and file people out there interested in the subject. You go to your average UFO conference, and the average age is up there in the upper 60s, early 70s now. What are the things that we need to come up with to get young people interested to the extent of really devoting quality time and getting involved in field investigation, getting involved in doing quality research like you've done in your life. What is it going to take for us to ensure that we have a new generation of interested researchers and investigators coming up and moving that ball down the field after we're gone?
Well, I think the whole model of ufology is changing, just as the whole model of a whole lot of things is changing because of the Internet.
Right.
And the model of the old UFO organization, which publishes a, you know, a bulletin or a magazine or a journal, I think, you know, is probably going the way of a lot of other things that were central to our lives, but we're now going to be viewing on screens and elsewhere.
Right.
I find that I'm actually rather optimistic about the future of anomalistics. I think that there are some very interesting and smart younger people already making contributions, and not necessarily focused on ufology, but on anomalistics generally, and bringing intellectual discipline that I wasn't seeing when I was that young and their age. And I'm reasonably optimistic. You know, these questions will remain, and there will always be a certain number of people interested in them. And it will just, you know, sustain itself. There's not much that you or I can do about it. I mean, I try to make a point when I get a letter or an email from a young reader to be sure that I answer the question and try to be helpful and try to sustain the interest. And, there's nothing we can do. It's just, you know, you could just, on a person-to-person level, pay attention to young people. Answer their questions.
Yep.
Even if their questions are naive, they're starting out like everybody, all of us started out.
Right.
We were teenagers once, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Jerry Clark joins us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Jason Lewis here. We talk daily about all the crazy stuff happening around the world. Concerns with the economy, job loss, and natural disasters, just to name a few. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dry meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Food Storage entrees are packaged in individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get free shipping on any order. Call 855-FOOD-WISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
If you have a comment or a question, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. We're talking to Jerry Clark, UFO historian, author of the UFO Encyclopedia, with Gene and Chris on the Paracast, looking at why young people don't seem to get involved as much as they should. I know my son read one UFO book in his life by Kurt Southerly, and that was it. He hasn't pursued the subject any further, although he writes science fiction with me. And I guess that's another thing, too. The people involved in heavy-duty science fiction have often been, as they say, antagonistic towards people involved in UFO research. Have you seen that?
Well, I know that, you know, I'm not a science fiction fan, but I do know that the writers are more likely to be hostile than the rank and file, and at least that's what I learned from people I know who are involved in the science fiction world, and some of them science fiction writers. They say that if anything, the average science fiction fan is more curious about the subject than most people. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. Either you're interested in this or you're not. My own children, I have 3 children, they're all grown, have no interest whatsoever in this. They're not hostile to it. They just aren't interested. And I've never done anything to encourage their interest or discourage it. That's their decision. And as I say, it's appealing to some people, and it's not appealing to apparently most people, at least on the level that it appeals to us who are really immersed our lives in it. But, you know, it'll work itself out. These mysteries will remain. And strange things will happen. Strange things will be seen. And the people who want to get answers, who are curious, will act accordingly.
Well, that's the good question here. With the old guard slowly leaving, is UFO research ultimately going to die out except for a few diehards?
No. It will continue. It'll continue in a different form because technology, the information transformation technology is changing radically. And it will change that way. For example, my major project in the new century has been working with a small group of international researchers using the Internet to collect material on anomalies from old newspapers. For a fee, you can get access to thousands of old newspapers, and you have search words, and I have an immense amount of material that I have accumulated in this decade of old newspaper clippings about a wide range of Fortean phenomena, proto-UFO sightings, mystery airships, and all those things, cryptozoological phenomena, culled from 19th and early 20th century newspapers. So I've just been, you know, enormously excited. And there are other researchers in this little group that I belong to, people from all over the world, from Europe and Russia, places like that, who are doing the same thing, and we're exchanging information and really getting a sense of, you know, the history of anomalies, how anomalies change, how society receives them, what people report, what they experience, what the hoaxes are. It just, you know, and it really gives you a perspective on the more modern era that we know from our own, you know, personal involvement. And so to me, it remains fascinating. And most of the people in this group are a lot younger than I am.
Well,
Jacques Vallée is probably the oldest member.
Right.
But it's you know, I think there's definitely a future. And it'll be interesting. I just wish I were going to be around to see it.
Yeah. Well, Chris Aubeck has struck me as somebody that's a real up-and-comer, as a really good researcher, a very good digger. And, you know, if he's indicative of the new wave of younger researchers that are up and coming, then I agree with you. There is hope. But kids nowadays just seem in general to be pretty jaded and cynical about pretty much everything. And
I think it's hard to make broad statements. Like, people have always said that about young people. I mean, people thousands of years ago said the same thing. I mean, people are different. And there are some people whose brains are in gear and who really want to know stuff. And I think that describes the three of us. And there's, you know, we're always going to be a minority, but there will always be people who want to know, who have curiosity, who love knowledge, who love grappling with complicated, difficult questions. There always will be people. Chris, you mentioned Chris Aubeck. Chris Aubeck's a great guy. Theo Payments from Holland is a fantastic researcher. There are some really good people out there.
Of course, John Greenwald has always been, I think, a real inspiration.
Yes.
To me and to others, with the amount of work that he's done putting together the Black Vault. I mean, that is, talk about a resource. I mean, that is a huge, huge undertaking that he's done. Plus, he's got a radio show. Plus, he, you know, publishes. Plus, he's got all these wonderful projects. You're seeing him out and about on the UFO speaking circuit. I think he's very grounded. I think he's a little possibly overwhelmed and naive, if I can say that in a kind and gentle way. I really like him. One thing that I've noticed, though, Jerry, the last couple of years, we've seen what kind of appears to be a bit of a resurgence in interest, I think, in the subject. It could partially be due to a lot of the shows that have been on. The media seems to be a little bit more open and accepting of the subject matter. I noticed last year earlier this year at the UFO Congress, their inaugural Scottsdale, you know, location, since they moved, you know, from Laughlin, it was standing room only. They had, I think, 1,200 to 1,500 people there. The MUFON this year out in Irvine had a surprisingly large turnout compared to the last couple of years. So perhaps we are seeing a resurgence of interest in these subject areas. And I did notice more and more young people, too, that seemed to be interested and fairly up to speed. This is a very difficult subject to get up to speed on. It's you really have to be dedicated.
Yes.
You really have to do your homework to be able to speak intelligently about this with some of the longer, you know, researchers, the longer in the tooth, shall we say, like the three of us. But, you know, I do agree. I think that there is just a part of the human psyche that tends to get kicked off in some people in terms of just being curious. I think it all boils down to just intellectual curiosity. And I think humans, by and large, are curious unless they watch too much television, and then their curiosity is force-fed them.
Well, there will always be scientists and artists and, you know, people doing interesting things that aren't, they're engaged with the world outside their house or their television set or their computer. And they will always be a minority, but they will always drive the human adventure. And we ufologists are in that group of people. And, I'm interested in UFOs because I find the world interesting.
Yeah.
I find human beings interesting. I find everything interesting. And, I know that makes me and us a minority, but we'll always be here. We'll, you know, or at least our equivalents will always be here. And the human quest will continue.
Speaking of quests, Jerry Clark, you're working on a revision to one of your books. Can you tell us more?
Well, I'm just close to finishing, I hope in the next few weeks, the third edition of my Freudian Omnibus, Unexplained. And this one has an enormous amount of new material in it and is a significant revision from the previous two editions. And my wife, who was a professional proofreader all of her editorial career, read over most of the manuscript recently and could proofread it, and without any prompting from me, she said, "This is pretty good." So that was a little note of encouragement. So maybe people will like the book when it's out next year.
Well, I think, of course, we'll have you back on the show to talk about it, and you'll send us autographed copies, me and Chris, so that
you will get copies, that's for sure.
Okay, excellent. We look
Thank
forward
you.
To that. So if someone wants to get more of your information, do you have a website or something?
I'm just a complete Luddite. You know, I'm findable. Just look up Jerome Clark through Google. You'll find me.
We
one
found
or two references will turn up.
Yep.
Fair enough. Chris, where do we find you?
Well, I lurk on the Paracast forum, of course. It's forum.theparacast.com. I do have a website that I promise I'm going to be... I'm locked out of my own website right now, so... I need to get that process along and revamping my website, but it's ourstrangeplanet.com.
We'll get it fixed up. We'll get it working. Not to fear. Jerry Clark, thanks for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Thanks for having me.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.